Thanks for tuning in to part two of Steve and Beck's story. Geez, I'm still remembering last week's episode where so many wonderful things came out as Steve and Beck shared openly and honestly about their journey. And one of the things that really stood out for me was just to know and to hear that God is still God. That the God that they were crying out to and really wrestling with and asking the hard questions during the times of infertility is the same God that they still have today. The God that has carried them through some really difficult times. But as we're about to hear in today's episode, the God who has blessed them with twin boys, bringing their total of kids up to 5 gorgeous children. And along the way, please listen out to hear how Beck and Steve are hanging in there and also seeing the daily joys of raising children. It's such an encouragement. It warms my heart. And most importantly, it points us to the fact that we have a God who delights in us as his children. Even though we stuff up, even though we fall short, he is the one who has got us. He is the one who delights in us. And my prayer is that as a result of today, that whether it's our own biological children or whether it's with spiritual children from our own church family, that we would delight in this God-given privilege of being parents, be it biological parents or spiritual parents. So let's get started. Beck, it was pretty much 1 year to the day that you found out that you had permanent care of these 3 kids that you discovered another twist in the story.
Yeah. Found out we were pregnant the same day as the courts rang us and said, you are the kids' permanent carers until they're 18 years old, unless you adopt them. So,
okay.
That's another God thing just smacks you in the face.
Yep.
So the day that they landed on our doorstep, a year later, we found out we were having twins. Yeah, so there was only probably like a couple of weeks between those two.
I think it was 1 week.
1 week, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we found out we were pregnant, well, not late, but later than probably your average person would, because why would I even check I'm pregnant? That's silly.
Why would I go and buy the test?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so not just one, but two.
But two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's when I vomited.
At the news or at the pregnancy? The morning
I think it was the news, because that was the only time in my pregnancy I vomited. Yeah, I think it was out of shock. And then I sat on the kitchen floor and just cried because I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't work out if I was happy or sad or just shocked or I'd, yeah.
What did I do?
I think you just laughed.
Yeah, I was giggling.
You just laughed like a child. Like.
That was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Beck's vomiting and Steve's cacking his head off in the background.
Literally. I remember. He was putting clothes on the line outside. I'm on the kitchen floor crying and I could hear him through the glass doors laughing because he's just like, this is just like, what is God doing?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
I remember you guys telling me at church.
Yes.
And it was after the service and I think we were just in the hall and you told me it. And I was like, because it was such a public thing and I don't know how many people you told, I had to, on the one hand, contain the celebrations and jumping up and down. And on the other hand, I had to kind of lift my jaw up off the floor, I think.
Yeah. Pretty sure that was most people's reaction. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. So we got that wonderful news. I mean, we should also remember here that, Beck, the late stage of that pregnancy was touch and go.
Yeah,
so we had
complications at exactly halfway. Yeah. And I don't think I knew the seriousness of the problems because I wouldn't have been as calm, because now that they're here, it's only now that they're here that the doctors are like, you know, this was really dangerous. Or my friend who's a midwife was like, I was so like physically sick for you, because she had looked after so many women in the same stages with the same problems that didn't get to keep their babies. And I just thought, wow. Maybe that was a really serious thing.
I have to tell this because it was so we've brought up the fact that God had the 3 names lined up for the 3 foster kids. And then during this, so complications with pregnancy for Beck, she nearly went into labor, like her waters nearly broke, that type of thing. So, and that was at 20 weeks. If you know anything about kids, which I didn't, but now I know that
it's non-viable for twins.
It's not viable for twins at 20 weeks. So they aimed then for 20.
We started doing 2-week blocks from there. So we went to like, if we get to 22, that's good. 24, better. 26, great. 28, even better for twins, because they say twins, you kind of take off 2 weeks for a single pregnancy. So once I got to 26, they're like, yeah, whatever. That's when they started giving me all the stuff ready to go, all the steroids and stuff like that. Yeah. But
mind you had to go in the hospitals.
I was in the hospital for 2 months on my back, confined to a room, my little cell, I called it.
Bed rest for
bed rest in inverted commas.
Bed rest, yeah, not very restful bed rest. So, and then I was all of a sudden a single dad of three foster kids, and Beck was literally fighting for the survival of our twin boys.
Yeah. Wow.
What the heck? But through that, I was going to say that, like, so throughout it, so the seriousness of that situation, obviously the doctor, she was phenomenal, absolutely amazing.
Oh, I love amazing. My doctor so much. I miss her.
And, but like just the seriousness of the situation hadn't really hit us. But like as we went along, as time got further, so the boys were born at 34 weeks, you just see on her face every time, she, like the disbelief on the doctor's face that we'd lasted that long.
Yeah. She would come in at 24 weeks and be like, all right, another two. And I'd say, then can I go home? And she's like, I don't think you're going to get home. I think we're going to have these babies. And then it got to like 26. And then she let me go at 28. And she just smiled. Every time she came into the room, she just smiled. And I was like, why are you smiling? She's like, I just can't believe it. She's like, it does not make sense that these babies are still inside you. Like every time I had a scan, she's like, there's nothing holding them in. Like honestly, there is, like, you've got nothing left. I was like, okay, how? And she's like, she couldn't explain it. And I was like, how good is Jesus? And she just smiled and kept smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like constant just disbelief, like medically that medically we should have lost the boys. Like, but we had no idea. Like,
yeah, I was so oblivious, really, which I think was the way that God really protected us, because if I had known the seriousness of it all, I probably wouldn't have been in calm. Like I lasted 2 months in hospital and I was okay. Like I missed my family. I missed the kids. I missed Steve. But I was okay. Like, that's crazy to be on your back for that long.
Yeah.
And to still be mentally okay.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, all of us are kind of getting a window into that with isolation and stuff. But
yeah, I've been in isolation since January, guys. Yeah. I got this down pat.
Before it was a thing, I was already doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't leave. She let me leave my room towards the end to walk to get some, like, there was an ice machine. Like,
machine. What a trip that would be.
I do that trip so many times a day and the doctors are like, oh, getting out. Yeah, just gotta get honestly, ice. Gotta go get some ice.
Yep.
That's it. But yeah, I feel like when the medical professional who specializes in complex pregnancies and complications goes, this doesn't make sense, this shouldn't be happening, like surely that's again a moment where like you go, okay, maybe God's still here, still doing his thing. Like, yeah. He's still faithful. He's still like, how else can you explain it?
Like, and so many good things came out of it. Like I'm really good friends with our sonographer now. Like, the lady that brought me food every day, like, she's my friend now. Like,
awesome. Like, Facebook friends.
She's
like
my Facebook friend, guys.
Official Facebook friendship.
She bought the boys presents when they were born. Like, she, you know, she was my friend.
They're part of your journey.
Three times a day, she'd come and stop and say hi. She wouldn't just drop my food off. She'd stop. She'd sit on my bed and we'd chat and she'd bring me snacks and cook me steak and, you know.
Yeah.
It was special.
Cooking your steak and chips and everyone else has like the microwave fish meal. Like big smashing a pub meal next door.
With powdered egg and, you know.
Yeah, with like a glass with lemon in it and like sparkling water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. VIP by the end of it.
Jesus, treatment.
Yeah.
So we do know that hospitals are capable of better food. We just need to have some serious conditions.
Yeah, you just have to become friends with the person who brings it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be in a seriously dangerous situation and befriend the caterer.
Yeah.
Good tip.
Yeah. But yeah, God is just, I've lost for words, to be honest.
So faithful, man.
Yeah.
So kind, so faithful. Just get reminded of it every time you kind of breeze through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the question on everyone's lips now is, you know, you've had the boys, praise God, they're home, they're safe. How are you guys coping? Like, that's probably the question, I guess, as we've heard the journey, you've gone from zero to five kids in a very, very short space of time.
Yeah.
Like, give us a window into the Karras household.
Is it 18 months?
Yeah, 0 to 5 in 18 months.
Zero to five in 18 months.
How are we going? Look, ultimately, we're going pretty well. We have so much help. So, so thankful for our families. Yeah, I'm turning people away in terms of people who want to help. And I get stressed that I don't have anything that I need help with to help me, if that makes sense. Like, that causes me more anxiety than looking after five children, that I can't say yes to somebody when they really want to help because I've got nothing left, if that makes sense. It's like, you can take another basket of washing, but I've already washed it. Like, it's just crazy. Coping okay. Sleep deprivation is real and crazy. And I think chuck COVID in there, it's just a whole nother world. Like, we can't get out. The little luxuries that I wish I had as a new mum, I don't have. Like, I don't have a mother's group. You get to just pop to the shops and do all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
so you are cut off in a way more than... Are you an extrovert, Beck?
I don't know. Am I? Maybe. Actually, no. I think I might be because, for example, when I was in hospital for the first 2 weeks, I was in this room away from everybody. They're like, oh, go to this room. It'll be nice and quiet for you. You don't want to be in the hustle and bustle. And it was so depressing. Like, there was a window, but it looked onto another wall. Like, it was so sad. And then I said to them, I'm like, I'm just not loving this room. I'm not coping. And they had said, oh, you look a bit sad. Do you want to speak to a psychologist? And I said, no, I don't. I would just like to maybe move rooms.
Just put me back in the hustle and bustle room.
So they moved me to next to the nurse's station. And it was like Steve came to see me that day and he's like, what's happened to you? I was like, oh, I can see people. I can talk to people. Okay. So maybe I am a bit of an extrovert.
Yeah. Well, I guess particularly in your, I mean, any mum who's just surrounded by kids all day just craves, I guess, the adult
Yeah, I do. And that's what I did actually go back to work for a little bit and all of this. And I did really enjoy that because I could talk to another adult. Yeah. That was really good.
Okay. So, yeah, challenging in life.
Challenging
COVID.
With COVID.
Yep.
I hate that word. I don't want to say it ever again. But, and I think in terms of coping, some days are better than others. Some days are really good. Some days are really bad. You know, Steve struggled with missing the kids and working a lot. And I think, you know, we forget about the dads and that they can get a bit of postnatal depression as well, which I think Steve's probably struggling with more than myself.
Yeah, so just on that, Steve, I mean, let's hear your side of the story because you're still doing the truck driving thing. You're getting up at the crack of dawn. Like, give us a window into what your working week is like.
Yeah. I wish I was getting up at the crack of dawn. That'd be a welcome sleep in. So 3:15, the alarm goes off and I'm at the yard 4:15. And we're doing West Connects at the moment. So I get back to the yard after a full day at about 5:00. So, yeah, 4:15 in the morning, they're 5:30.
Yeah, and then he goes and picks the kids up from preschool. So by the time he gets home, it's 6:00.
Wow.
If you know anything about kids, that's the worst time of the day for them. They're angry, they're tired, they're grumpy.
They're calm and obedient that time of the day, Beck.
They're
dirt,
like they're just...
They're saying, what can I do? Can I clean up after myself and can I put the dishes away?
Mother, do you need help with dinner? That's all I hear my kids say. Oh.
No, and Chuck, like 5, and then twins, that's like their feeding time and they don't wait for anything, so they cry and... Yeah, poor Steve gets home to chaos. Yeah, that's our day, really.
Yeah. So, look, it's full on. I want to emphasize that kids are a blessing. I just think the standard is to, like, insult your kids. And, look, it's valid because it's funny to do and easy to do because they're just dumb, right? But, like, I think we miss so much of the time just how, like, much joy they bring. Like, I'm thinking, like, what will my life be like without kids? I'd be like, it'd be boring.
We'd be so selfish. We'd be talking about going on holidays
or, like, talking about yourselves or, like, just, you know, things you're going to buy. Like, it'd just be, like, the same old of things that don't satisfy anyway. Like, but then all of a sudden, like, you read that, like, children are a heritage from the Lord. I'm just reading Psalm 127 now. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And like just that, the Bible would say that like kids are a blessing. And like if you were to get to our house, like at about, let's go about 2:30 in the afternoon, like, the kids are awake and like they're rested and we feed them, right? And so they're full, they're rested and they're just fun to be around. Like first thing in the morning, like they're great. Like I love my kids and they're cute. Dang it, they're cute. Oh man, it'd be so much easier to not like them if they were ugly, but they're so cute. Like they really are. Can I say that? I don't know. Like you're looking at me as if I shouldn't have said that just then, but it's valid.
That's how I look at you all the time.
So. pray for my wife. Yeah, that's it. But they're just so cute. And so I feel so like invigorated and almost refreshed being just with my kids and just watching them grow. And then just the reminder that like when they do things, like, so our middle child, she has just started walking and like, it is the most bizarre thing that you just lose your mind to the fact that a kid takes a step or can stand up. Like you just go, oh my goodness, everyone look, like you're taking photos and videos and everything. But then I'm like reminded in that moment, like surely this is how God looks at us, right? Like maybe if we realize that as God's kids ourselves, like maybe if we actually believe that he delights in his kids, like maybe we wouldn't be so hard on ourselves in our own like failings and our own stumbling. Like the fact that we go nuts that our toddler can take one step forward and fall over, like we're not worried about her falling over. We're going nuts that she took a step, right? Like we just love it. And so like, what if we like realized that in our own walk as God's kids, like we stumble and bumble our way through this whole journey of faith and being obedient to the gospel and what Jesus has done. Like we are not perfect at it by any means. Anyone who claims they are is a liar, right? Like just honestly, but like, what if we then realize that maybe the fact that we prayed or we read some word or we were loving and kind to that person on the bus, or, you know, we didn't just bite back at our parents, or we, you know, thought about our wives and bought flowers without her asking, or took the trash out. Like, what if those little things like got, like, what if we realize that God's losing his mind going, how good is this? Is the best thing ever. Like, I just feel like we wouldn't have so much condemnation like towards ourselves, and we'd actually believe that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus because God delights in his kids. And so like that in and of itself, like I just feel like my household reminds me of my own relationship with our Heavenly Father. So that's, yeah, just such a cool thing. And honestly, yeah, it's hard. Like I am.
It's hard when that then feels like it's taken away in terms of you not being there for all the good bits. You're only there for the hard bits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's my struggle at the moment of being removed from my family for so long, for so much of the day. So I think that's kind of a real struggle I'm in at the moment. You know, like depression's kind of crept back in. I've had to see a doctor again. And so, you know, if there's anything to pray for me specifically, for myself, it would be just a job that wouldn't take so much time away from the household. Like I just love being at home and being with my kids. I don't know. Like I feel like everyone's working at home at the moment through this crisis. I'm like, oh, if only I could drive a truck from home, it'd be the best thing ever. Like I just like just being home and I don't know, Xbox controller controlling this, you know.
Yeah, remote control truck. Yeah. Put in WestConnex.
Isn't this 60-ton truck just a remote control at old mate's house? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But don't have that privilege. So yeah, so that's hard. But like at the end of the day, there's still so many things to be thankful for, and it is still such a blessing. So
I think we're just trying to do that a lot more is be really thankful for the little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being present and being faithful, being obedient. Like we often think it's the heroic moments, but actually, as you said, Steve, so beautifully there, it's the little things that put a smile on our Father's face as we seek to love one another. You know, you guys are obviously in this together. Mm. You know, you've talked about how you've come out of this journey closer, having learnt more of Jesus and how real he is in your life. Mm. I want to do, just as we begin to wind things up, celebrate actually the Mother's Day present, Steve, that you gave Beck, and Beck's just beaming from ear to ear.
I love it.
Okay.
So people are going to think it's something really, really exciting.
No, this is gold. This is like if everyone's like,
they got me a Mother's Day present. Present. No, none of that.
Hey, this is so much better than that, guys. Yeah, don't dumb it down. It's brilliant. So, one of the things that I found Beck asked me to do a lot was reheat her coffee all the time, right? So she'd make herself a coffee at home and then within 20 minutes... 5 minutes. Okay, it was 5 minutes. Sorry, I was a bit generous with that time frame. 5 minutes. Steve, can you microwave my coffee? So I reckon I probably did about 4 or 5 trips to the microwave before it was half finished. I don't even think it finished the whole thing. And so my gift to Beck, I figured, what better way to bless my wife and myself would be to give her a mug, a coffee mug that has a heater in it that keeps your drink warm, like electronically. And so like I bought her this mug, and do you know how many times I've had to microwave your coffee since you started drinking out of it?
I think twice maybe.
No, the mug does it. That's the whole point.
No, as in like, for example, you microwaved my coffee today because I forgot to charge the mug. And therefore, I had to have my coffee in a normal, everyday, boring thing.
When you're drinking out of this super mug.
Oh, never. It's the best thing ever. It has an app on your phone and you set the temperature and you can have a timer. You can turn the heater off if it's getting a little bit too hot. Or if you're like me and get up at like 4 a.m. to feed the boys and you're like, is there any point going back to bed? Maybe not. Make yourself a coffee and then you fall asleep. Wake up at 6. coffee's still hot, guys.
It's still hot, guys.
So yes, for the husbands out there, if you need advice on how to buy good gifts, just take any task your wife gives you and automate it somehow. That's the only way I can come up with just real crackers. So yeah, I'm working on that robot that takes the bin out. I'm still Googling, but look, we'll see how we go.
It's a game changer, guys. You should get one.
What, the robot or the mug?
No, the mug.
Okay.
I'm still on the mug.
Because there's one thing that I hear about when it comes to being a mum, and that is the tea that just perpetually gets cold and the frequent trips to the microwave.
Yeah. If you have this mug, don't have that problem.
Yep. USB powered.
Except if you forget to charge it. Like, it has a coaster that you sit on at the end of every day.
Charge the mug, guys. Get the mug, then charge the mug.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I'm not very good at following through with a lot. However, I'm pretty good at putting my mug on charge, except for today.
Yes. Okay. We caught you on a bad day. Hey, guys, we're going through Psalms at the moment. Do you want to share with us a Psalm that particularly, I mean, Steve, you read out that beautiful Psalm before, but is there another Psalm that particularly is ministering to you guys at this point in time?
I don't know if there's a psalm that's ministering to me at this point in time, but there was definitely a psalm that I reread and read and read and read when I was in like the depths of despair through this whole fertility journey that really, really, really just spoke to me. And it is Psalm 116, and I'll just read a little bit of it. It's all gold, so go and read it. So starting at verse 5, it says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary, and when I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk through the Lord before the Lord in the land of the living."
Beautiful. I love how that you've, in the depths of despair, you cried out to God and God gave you that verse of scripture. Yeah. Steve, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, it's the God who's present and answers. And even if you don't call out, he still answers. I think that's the biggest thing from, yes, the Psalms, but also just our life. Like, when you don't have strength to call out, he still answers the request.
Yeah, God never left us. Like, when we were sad and when we were angry, we did feel abandoned, but God never leaves, ever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anything, one of the beautiful things about the lament Psalms is that you can lament and you can complain and you can be bitter towards him and you can, you know, get angry with him. And the fact that all those emotions are recorded in the Psalms, surely that gives you permission to go, if it's in the Bible, maybe it's okay to feel that outside of the Bible. Like, maybe I shouldn't feel condemned about that. Like, it's in the book, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah, out of all this, it's totally okay not to be okay. And it's totally okay to be sad and to grieve and to want things. And, you know, if God doesn't give them to you, there's a reason. And
yeah. And I think what you helped us understand is that life with Jesus is hard. Like, I mean, yes, it's the best thing, but it's not as if we come to Jesus and suddenly it's a smooth ride with no bumps, no twists, no turns. You know, the Bible puts it out there pretty clearly that suffering will come our way, that anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. But those experiences are there to make us turn to him, to realize we can't do it on our own strength. And that actually God's got us. Yeah, he's a faithful God, as you guys have attested to again and again and again. Well, hey, thanks so much for sharing your story. It's beautiful to hear how you guys are journeying at the moment. And I think, you know, you guys, I came into this interview thinking, oh, there's going to be, you know, heaps of challenges that have come your way, or it's going to be really like tough story to say, because, you know, that tension of, oh, well, we don't want to kind of be too honest and kind of paint the reality of things and how just, you know, you're battling through day to day. But you've actually put a positive spin on this. You've given us the reality and it's positive.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it's really important as like new parents to ask when people say, oh, how are you going? Isn't it terrible? Like, don't assume that of them. Like, I think it's, you know, parenthood is really good. It's really, really hard, obviously. But it is really good. And ask people what they're thankful for and ask people what went well, like celebrate what went well and what they're grateful for and, you know, run with that.
Yeah, positive. Well, hey, normally I would ask our guests to pray at the end of each of the podcasts, but I feel a burden to pray for you guys in particular and to pray for other couples who might be listening to this story and might be anywhere on that journey that you've gone through. So how about I lead us in prayer? God, you are indeed a good and wonderful, a faithful and merciful God. Children are indeed a wonderful blessing from you, from your hand. And Lord, we thank you so much that you've blessed Steve and Beck with five gorgeous kids. Thank you, Father, through the journey, the ups and downs, that you have reminded them again and again of your goodness and faithfulness. And they've been able to share a window into that story today. Father, as parents can often think negative things about our kids or complain, but Father, even through hearing Stephen Beck's story, we see just the beautiful picture of the way that we have you as our Heavenly Dad, that you love us no matter what, that you are always for our good, that you are always growing us and molding us and shaping us day by day. And as we respond in trust and obedience, that those things put a smile on your face. Father, we want to pray for Steve. He desires to be with his kids that much more. And so we pray that for your provision of a job that would enable him to be around and to capture those precious moments more and more. We pray for Beck that you would continue to energize her and indeed bring out that beautiful motherly instinct in her as she seeks to parent five kids. We pray for us as a church family that we can continue to support the Carises, and also that we'd be mindful as a wider church family of those particularly doing it tough at the moment as they want kids for their own, as they struggle in raising kids. Father, we pray that we would be a community that seeks to be honest with each other, that seeks to sit with each other through those difficult times and do whatever it takes, whether that be to cry with them, to support them, to be a listening ear, Father, that we would all be the body of Christ at this time, and so that we would all fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. You know, one of the things that Beck and Steve have said over and over again throughout this journey is that God is still God. And they've been through lots of ups and downs, lots of trials, lots of high points and joys. And yet it's been the same God who's been with them right from day one, before the beginning of this world, and is the same God who is with them to this very day and will continue to be with them until they get called home by the Lord Jesus. God may not give us what we want when we want, but we know that he is a God who is working for our good, that he can be trusted, and that the promises that he has made from the beginning of time are the promises he will see through right until he calls us home. We often say here at MBM that it doesn't just take a village to raise a child, it takes a church family to raise a child of God. And Stephen Beck's story is a beautiful reminder that no matter whether we're biological parents or not, we all share in that wonderful privilege of raising the next generation to be followers of the Lord Jesus, so that they in turn would make disciples of generations of generations of generations of people who love and follow the Lord Jesus as well. That's all we have time for today, but until next week, keep trusting Jesus in your onward and upward journey. Bye for now.